What happens when five industry friends get together and talk about what they know best? The industry. The Radio Facts Radio Show is what happens. I'm Kevin Ross, the creator of the Radio Facts Radio Show, and I hope you enjoy this episode. If you have questions or comments, feel free to contact me, kevin@radiofacts.com.
You're listening to the Radio Facts Radio Show, brought to you by radiofacts.com, your online information station.
Good luck. You know what, Jamila, I thought about when Daryl, when you talked about, said you were from Chicago, was that popcorn place you took me to that time? Everybody has a place in the city that they think is great. I told Jamila, that popcorn, I think I hurled for about 3 days. It was just nothing but butter. What was that?
You have to get the caramel popcorn or the cheese popcorn.
You gotta get caramel and cheese.
Yeah.
It was all exactly. Grease. That's all I remember. It was like all oil.
Oh, well, grease is good, brother.
And then she took
everything greasy.
And then she
greasy fried chicken is greasy.
That's good grease.
About Ebro resigning his position. Is it everybody familiar with Ebro and his programming style?
Who, Starbro?
What's that?
Starbro.
Okay. So everybody's familiar. So he has decided to step down and do the morning show. I'm thinking it's because of the VH1 reality show, which, if I'm not mistaken, is the first reality show about radio.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, here's the thing. Now, you remember Kay Fox was on the show, right?
Right.
Okay, now she claims she got fired because she was on a reality show. You remember that reality show that didn't work? The gossip something about all the girls that did the...
the blogs and things like
right,
that.
Yeah, right. So that didn't work. She gets fired after that. And then she said that she thought that Ebro was pissed because she was on a reality show. Now, they're doing a reality show. He steps down as PD, and they're waiting for somebody to come in and replace him. What do you think about that situation? If you were in that situation, would you have stepped down?
Well, I heard it was an option, though.
Okay.
That, either they wanted him to work hard. I mean, I call him Star Bro because he's quite provocative, and, he spends a lot of time talking where a lot of PDs are working.
Yeah.
And working on numbers that are really not killer numbers. It is historical numbers that Hot 97 gets. They haven't been breaking trends for years.
Right.
Right.
It's just rare that a brother wants to go that way. But once that camera and the shine and makeup gets on, shit, it's contagious.
Yeah, but
that's what I was thinking. I was thinking it was kind of like, after he did that whole interview with Mr. C, I guess it is halfway come out of the closet that Ebro was hosting, I kind of think that platform and being a celebrity and that kind of stuff kind of built a craving in him to want to do more of that and more of a thirst to do that. So I think that was kind of like the platform or the springboard to get him going and wanting to do that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I call it Dr. Boyce Watkins disease, where people get infatuated with television and talking, and sometimes they try something, and maybe I hope the brother's successful. I think program directors will be around longer than that show.
Well, it'll be interesting too, because if you're bringing in a new PD, how's that going to work if you are the former PD or the historical PD and you're still in the building? That's kind of rare.
That means they're going to let his contract wear out and keep him working. That's all that means.
I don't know if he has rubbed a lot of people in the right way. So, you know, it will be very interesting to see how the industry responds to him, too, because if this show could be make or break, no question. And I hope he has a real good contract, because I kind of agree with Paul. It's, you know, I don't know if the show is going to last. It's quite a gamble to step down from a position at like PD. But I was wondering the same thing. How long can you do, or how much can you do as a program director? And you're on the air, and you're on a morning show, and you're trying to be – that's too much work. And how effective are you as a programmer at that point? So I think Paul is right. They probably gave him a choice. It's like, if you're going to do the TV show now, then we need to get a new PD. And wasn't was that like his first PD gig?
No, wasn't he in Sacramento or something beforehand? I believe he was in Sacramento.
It was like one other like gig, though, right?
Really? It's all I've heard of was Sacramento. All I heard of was that he was in Sacramento before.
Wow.
Sacramento to New York? That's quite a career.
Yeah, I was going to say, some people work their whole careers to get to New York, and he did it just like that. Right. He's not that old either. What is Ebro, about 40?
Yeah, he's pretty young.
Okay, well, then he can make a couple mistakes in the industry. Let's talk about, I know this will be a favorite of Paul.
I mean, I wonder if they're paying them, because those reality salaries now are enormous.
Yeah.
So they're getting up there.
So I'm wondering if they're paying them something like that, because, you know, if they're paying them what a lot of these reality stars are making, I'm like, I don't blame them.
Yeah. Yeah, that could be true, too, is that, you know, he had a situation where it was an opportunity where he could still make more money and, you know, do what he really wants to do. So that makes sense. And he's got that kind
of... Wouldn't it be something if reality shows start popping up all over the country in different markets?
That's exactly what I was thinking. Radio? That's why this one is definitely the platform, because if it works, I think that's very possible. And I guarantee you the next place they're going to go to is Atlanta. And especially...
Absolutely.
Especially stations that have... you know, that are having some issues. I think V103 would jump on that at this point.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it is, I'm surprised.
And that's the whole, that's the whole reality show platform. You know, just create as many shows as possible without changing too much of the thing, you know?
Right.
Yeah, because they're only going to last so long. I mean, you know, they're good, but they're not going to be on the air 10 years from now, I don't think.
Yeah. Right. Well, they're trying to
And did the Breakfast Club show debut already on, what was it, Revolt? Is that where they're going?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. They are. Yep. But they have a show on Revolt.
Charlamagne has a show.
Has anybody watched that?
The whole Breakfast
Club. Isn't he on VH1? He has a show on VH1. It's not Revolt.
Charlamagne does, but their whole radio show has a show,
too.
Yeah,
it's going to be picked up on Revolt, too, yeah.
So has anybody watched the Revolt TV, them on there yet?
I was going to say, the first few times I watched it, it seemed... like chaotic. It didn't seem produced. And then when I brought that up to a couple of my colleagues, they said that they love Revolt and that they leave their TV on that just to listen to a lot of the music that they play on there and some videos that aren't played in mainstream. So I said I would give it another chance, but the first two times I watched it, it just seemed very chaotic. Right.
So this is
I haven't gotten too much feedback from people, but I did hear that they do have a lot of music videos that you are not seeing on any of the other networks. So, but in terms of their produced content, I haven't gotten much feedback on that.
You're listening to the Radio Facts Radio Show, brought to you by RadioFacts.com, your online information station.
What I did hear this week actually is that Diddy and I guess the whole Revolt senior staff
partnered with somebody, didn't they?
Put in an offer to buy Fuse.
Right.
So for like $200 million. So, you know, I guess that would mean that where Fuse is presently being broadcast, that would eventually be Revolt if this whole deal goes through.
I like the programming on Fuse. They have some pretty good programs on Fuse whenever I do catch them.
If the whole reality thing hits radio, then that could definitely take, I mean, because the corporations, they would pretty much lose control at that point. Because could you imagine them telling the jocks that you have to, you know, you can only play certain records and you have to act a certain way on TV? They wouldn't have that autonomy, would they? Because the reality shows would want them to be, they want drama, they want craziness. So a corporate station would have to loosen its ties or unleash the staff. That's at least what, I don't know if you guys saw the video for Hot 97, but that's what it looks like they're doing.
And is it always a benefit to the station? Because sometimes I think these reality shows do more harm than good for some of these artists and so-called celebrities on television. For example, Tate Michelle, like, she's a singing artist, but watching her on reality TV, to me, it takes the credibility away from her being a singer, to me.
But I tell you this,
in my opinion,
a lot of people don't know she's been around for years. I mean, literally, like, the early 2000s, she could not get a break. I remember independent promoter was trying to push her, and radio was not, they weren't having it. I mean, she absolutely struggled for years. Mm-hmm. So, you know, at least 7 or 8 years before that reality show came along. So,
like, you see to me, all of the artists that you see on reality shows' careers seem to be already dead, and they're trying to find a way to resurrect, you know. If you're looking like, you know, Peter Guns, and you're looking like the R&B divas and things like that, all of the artists are like looking for an opportunity to get put back on, you know?
Right.
No one is ever at their pinnacle on a reality show.
Right. You know, you're absolutely right about that. And I don't know that the reality shows actually help their career, but I think it definitely helps certain brands because it brings awareness to certain brands. So if a radio station does it, it may or may not hurt that personality's career based on how much they like them or what they, you know, what they like about their character or don't like about their character or what they find out about them on air. But I do think that it's definitely going to help bring publicity to the station brand because all publicity is good publicity in that regard.
You know what? Screw the station. I tell all announcers right now to get you know, put something together and get it to VH1 and any other network you could think of, because if this show hits, you know, you want to be first in line, and I wouldn't give a damn about the station. I'll be trying to hit.
That's true.
Because Dwayne, can you hook that up? Can you get this on VH1? I know you've got strings and power up there, bro. you could do a Steve Stout. You see, he sold them that Tanning to America garbage. Come on, man, get us a deal.
All right.
So let's talk about...
I'm gonna need you to be more raw than Porter.
Okay. You need to be what?
More raw, we're gonna get a deal.
You're listening to the Radio Facts Radio Show, brought to you by RadioFacts.com, your online information station.
Okay,
absolutely.
So Jamila, you want to talk about Floyd Mayweather? So you want to introduce that?
Yeah, I mean, I just thought that was pretty. It's one of those sad, stupid stories. Floyd Mayweather, I'm not sure if you guys are aware, but, you know, he is being looked at for let me just say this first of all. Does everybody know the story of Floyd Mayweather?
No, tell us.
Okay.
I've heard it.
Okay, basically, he had some people that were working on his house, and apparently he felt that they stole, like, a whole bunch of jewelry out of his house. So he called the guys that were working on his house to a private, they thought they were coming to meet with him in a different location, and he and his boys apparently beat him up really bad, almost to death, after they, you know, got out of the hospital. They suffered multiple broken bones and all kinds of stuff. They got an attorney, and basically he's now being investigated for attempted murder and kidnapping.
Well, it's not like he doesn't show people that what he has.
No, that does not help. Because, you know, I'm one of those people who's like, you know, make your money, go sit down and be quiet. Don't bring no attention to yourself. But because they went to meet him, I think it's really sad because it's going to be hard to not to disassociate yourself from the story. They know that it was you.
Right.
So, well, unless they have pictures or unless he busted one of them in the neck and the mouth so bad that he's got DNA embedded in his knuckles, unless they've got something more than just saying, Money Mayweather beat me up, I really think they're going to have a hard time with it.
But even though it's more than one?
Yeah, even though it's more than one, because they're saying whatever they're saying about him, and it's more than just him. So at that point, it becomes he and his crew against the other crew, and it's all just hearsay.
That's why he did the private location.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There were no
There were no cameras available. The guys were getting beat up. I don't think they were swift enough to get to a cell phone while they were taking those blows.
Right.
So, you know, to be able to videotape it. So unless they've got something more concrete than I'm hurt, I don't know how they can prove it.
You know,
frankly, I'm not sure I even believe it.
Well, you know,
how they can prove
I agree.
I believe it, but I think that they are going to have to definitely prove that he's the one who orchestrated it.
You know, if you
can I tell you how it's going to get settled? If it even gets close, he's going to offer them like 2 months.
For me, unless they can actually prove he was there, I have a hard time with it, and it throws back to the Tupac case, which I had a huge, huge difficulty with, where the young lady said that he ordered or facilitated the guy sexually assaulting her. I just think in this case, and I may be saying, you know, this may be me because I love my Mayweather. So
me too.
For me, I think it's a situation where they know he's got deep pockets, so they want to be able to associate him with it, and he may not even be involved.
Plus the fact that Floyd Mayweather is a walking catcher's mitt for trouble.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, if Floyd Mayweather, if his name is associated with anything like this, you know, we're not going to go, nah, that's not Floyd. We're going to automatically assume that, you know what, there might be some validity to that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that, you know,
people are doing.
Exactly.
What race are these?
The man was in jail. The guy was, Floyd was just in jail. What was that, 2 years ago? So if he would do anything to put himself back in there, then he's very foolish, which I just can't
And
see.
He's not a stupid guy. He is not a stupid guy.
Right.
This is a guy who is very, very savvy, who is not O.J. Simpson. This is a guy who really, really has all of his marbles still intact. I mean, come on.
Right.
I just don't think he's goofy enough to do something like this. I mean, and be this obvious with it. It's just too obvious, so it just sounds unbelievable.
Well, time will tell, but if anybody has ever watched any detective shows on, you know, all they need is one witness. It's like, even if nobody else was there, they need one witness. So if it was a group of guys that got beat up, I would think, I don't know how it works, and this happened in Vegas, I take it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, but those guys are not witnesses. The witness you're talking about, the witness has to be an independent witness to corroborate the story. You can't be a victim.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Right. So you can't claim.
Right,
that,
so that's why I talked about. Right. So that's why I was saying that they should have had. You know, they don't have any outside independent evidence, like a videotape, like an eyewitness. You know, it was a private location, so no one's able to say, yeah, I saw that. The only people who are saying that they saw it are the people who saw those blows coming out.
Now, let me ask a magic question. What race were these people?
That I don't know.
And I guess for me, it's like, I don't know. If I'm the one who got beat up and I'm telling the story, I don't know what else you need. If I think that's who it is, if he accused me of stealing his jewelry, then, and I got beat up, it's not a difficult association to make. That's just my opinion. Do I think that
that's not legal?
I got what you're saying, but at the end of the day, I mean, period. Like, if you get beat up and you go tell your story, that's, I mean, I don't know who else can, you know what I mean?
Well,
I don't know what else I'm supposed to have other than that story.
Well,
cases like this get thrown out all the time because they don't have an independent witness or corroborating evidence.
And you know,
I hope that is not true. However, you know, I don't know.
Floyd Mayweather also has a lot of hanger on it, so maybe one of the hanger on is on it. Maybe they thought that. And that's probably what's going to happen. One of his hanger on it thought the jewelry was stolen, and they ordered it. And then all of a sudden, Floyd, because he's the central figure, or he's the head of this group, or all these guys who hang, he, of course, gets the blame.
And you know what? If you watch, once again, if you watch these detective shows, what I didn't realize for the longest time is they absolutely rely on confession. A lot of times they don't have a witness and they wait for you to confess. And that's why they interrogate you for so long. And if you don't confess, a lot of times they have to throw it out. So that, you know,
which is why the police beat the heck out of black people who actually are who are alleged to have confessed. Hmm. They beat confessions out of. You're absolutely right. They depend on confessions.
Right. Okay, and then Jamila, you also wanted to talk about Darren Sharper?
Yeah, this is really sad, and I just don't even understand this case. Not sure if you guys are aware, but he was charged with sexual assault in Arizona for sexually assaulting and drugging women. I don't know why you have to drug women to have sex with them, because there's plenty of women out there, but he's also...
Wait, was that Bill Cosby? Okay.
He's also under investigation in four other states for the same thing, California, Louisiana, Nevada, and Florida. So to me, it's just like, really, dude? Really?
How does this pop up all at once if it's been happening for a while?
I don't know. But I just think that at the end of the day, I just don't get it. I don't get it.
Do you think it's just like we just said about Floyd? Is it another situation where... we got people just trying to get some money?
Yeah, to me, if you got more than one person, now you've got a situation where there may be something there.
Okay, I got you.
Because it's not like it's one incident where all three people are saying, you know, Darren drugged me and did it. Now you have three separate incidents, there may be something there.
But
those three, because they're separate, they can actually add up.
But they also have... they also have know the other person's story before them. So they could be just getting on board.
Look, if you got seven incidents where people said they drug you, and you said you had sex with them and it was consensual, you should go to jail automatically.
Oh, so he admitted it?
I don't know about that.
I mean, the coincidence is a hell of a coincidence.
Mm-hmm.
And you give everybody gets drugs and everybody's consensual. Okay, right.
So I'm saying, I agree with you that it's more likely true than not. I'm only detracting with the whole go to jail automatically. Because in this country, we start doing some automatic jail sentences. And there's going to be at least 2 million black men automatically convicted.
Well, they're already in jail already.
I was going to say 2 million.
They're coming to get some of us who are not.
Yeah, they've done that too.
Yeah, that's nothing new. Yeah. That's called the justice system.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. We don't want to do anything automatic. We at least need them to have that pretense of a trial.
You're listening to the Radio Facts Radio Show, brought to you by RadioFacts.com, your online information station.
Hey, let me ask everybody a question. So we all work in the industry, and we all entrepreneurs, but when is it time for someone to leave the industry?
They can't get a check.
Okay, that's... I was
gonna... You stole my thoughts. Give them back.
Mm-hmm. When they're out of touch and can't be effective.
Mm-hmm. As soon as you can't get paid. I don't care if you're effective or not. If you get paid today, ain't getting paid. Because some of the most ineffective people are the highest paid people. That's why effectiveness doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's why this isn't like the NBA and people make $50-60 million or $5 or $10 million. Everybody needs that check.
So you should stay as long as you can play politics.
As long as
pressure doesn't kill you.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Look, you got people, and I'm not going to call any names, obviously, but you got people who, you know...
Yo, you're not going to call no names, Daryl.
We call names on this
show, man.
We call names on this
show. I can't do that.
How are you going to have rap? I said
you was going to be the one to bring your own thing. Look, I'll hurt the big people, but I don't want to hurt anybody small. Somebody making less than 100,000, I don't want to cause them any pain. But you want to start talking about some big fish, I'll drop all kinds of names.
Okay.
But the point I was going to make is that it was somebody at A&R who knew they weren't doing anything, and they basically were kind of hiding out, making sure they didn't do too much to cause too much attention so that they could keep their job. And I think that we've got a lot of that going on right now, because the music industry is in trouble. It's a dinosaur. It doesn't even know what it is anymore.
Somebody at A&R that doesn't know what they're doing, that's an anomaly. I've never heard of that.
That's why I said until you become ineffective, because here we have a domino effect. You have a bunch of ineffective people getting checks, and therefore they are part of the problem that we're facing in the industry now. So in my opinion...
That's industry standard, though.
Huh?
The industry itself is ineffective.
the industry itself is upside down, inside out, and it's been that way for over a decade.
Yes, so when you get more effective people in places, then you can possibly have a little bit of change.
That's our problem, that we think is our problem. We don't own it.
Mm-hmm.
We're just contract employees in the system.
Mm-hmm.
So they pick when it's going to live and when it's going to die. And when we have chances to build our own, we don't.
Mm-hmm.
We sell off and five people get paid.
I completely agree.
And the cycle just starts all over. Then we're going to get back another piece of the pie. And, you know, it'll be the rap sheet EDM by Daryl James soon or something. Mm-hmm. You know, we find ways to fit in.
I was asking when somebody should retire, because I don't know if you guys realize a lot of PDs in the industry, or I would say a majority, are over 45. And I'm trying to figure out if you can still be effective on a mainstream station if you're over 45.
Well, the answer is yes and no. Yes, you can if you do your job. So I'll go ahead and say no, because most people who are related to the music industry right now are not doing the job that they should and could do. Listen, let's just be honest. No one is really discovering new music to actually promote it. The standard is to wait until it becomes hot and then go get it. No one is really, and when I say no one, it's a generalization, because of course some people are still trying to break music in certain corners of the industry. But in general, it's just not happening.
Mm-hmm.
And so what has to happen is that the independents are going to have to come into the industry, learn what the new game is,
mm-hmm.
and then play that game without having the goal of joining the majors. That's the only way somebody can come in and really make it happen. But listen, the music industry is a dinosaur. They're getting stuck in the tar pitch right now.
But
why would anybody
want to
jump on your back?
Because there's still collecting checks.
They're still collecting checks because the independent artists are still going to them to give up everything. And I'm suggesting that if they stop that, they change the game and
that sounds good until somebody walks up to Chief Keef and says, "Here's $1 million." You know,
that's different, because Chief Keef is a chief idiot. But let's talk about someone who's in college, who's educated, who will actually get the information, take the information, and do something with it. Listen, I'm doing a 10 black college tour called the IMIC Intensive Music Industry Clinic, and this will actually give them the information they need based on new and emerging technology. But our goal is not to mainstream people into what is left of the music industry. Our goal is to empower these young brothers and sisters so that they can create their own, because you don't need the big boys anymore.
Yes, you do, but they're saying, that's like
what going do you need them for? To take your checks?
To get the massive numbers. Look,
no, you don't need them.
Yeah, I hear that crap all the time, but we see who's on all the endorsements, making the big projects, and yes, I love indies, but the reality is that the majors control the major shit.
Can I give you one word? Can I say one word?
Print. They better have hit tour after.
Prince. Who can show up in the city, shut it down. Prince, who was the first one, along with Public Enemy's Chuck D, who went on the internet, did one-off deals.
I'm a master of black history. Tell me about one of them that you can talk about in the last 10 years.
Well,
I'm not... Prince ain't doing it on that level. I played Prince's first record at 1090 WILD Boston in the 70s. He's not doing it to that level. And we can name one, but name 10. Name 15. You name Prince, I name Jay-Z.
That's
what I'm saying.
It depends on what the artist's goal is. If most artists are just really, they want to be on their own and they want to be able to make a living at it, it's very possible. But if you're trying to get up to a Jay-Z status or somewhere like that, then you do need a major. But a lot of artists are making some pretty decent living doing it the independent route, through internet, through doing shows.
I know, but the masses want the big things. They want the big cars.
And they don't know any better. Once you know better, you can do better. Listen. You can use internet technology. You can put your music on the internet. You can do your Twitter. You can use your social media marketing, and you can make decent money, because if you sell a record of one single for 99 cents, you keep that 99 cents
right,
as opposed to going to a label that's going to mass produce a bunch of garbage. It's being cut, trying to get more than $10 for it.
Right.
You're only going to get a quarter. Let's not talk about what these real deals are. So these guys can make it rain all they want with that fake money that they don't own. At the end of the day, they're getting 25 cents. A good deal is 75 cents per record. So if you're out there doing it on your own, you can get 99 cents for singles.
And you know what else?
And again, I do get that you can definitely make more money on your own as an independent, but I do think that it definitely goes back to what your ultimate goal is. If you're looking to be on a Jay-Z level and get mainstream appeal and success and endorsements and crossover into TV and do all of that, you do need the help of some majors. However, if you are independent and you have enough money and you work at it long enough, you can make noise. But now, I don't think that you can really get to that mainstream level without that mainstream help.
But you also, if you come to, listen real quick, if you come to a label and you bring the numbers, and we talked about this on the first show, the key is to bring the numbers. So if you're an independent and you do well enough, then the majors will come to you. And at that point, you can work out a deal that works for you where you get a bigger cut.
Here's a step for you. And this will close this case. The top 1% in the music industry earn 77% of all the money in terms of endorsements, everything. So the top
1%. Deny that. No one's going to deny that.
Yeah.
So, well, we're talking about what people are going for. You think people want to be part of that 77% or want to feed off 23%?
I think people want real information,
right,
and they're not getting it. Let's
right,
be honest.
Yeah.
And I think that if they get the real info, and I don't want to do a shameless plug here, but this 10-city tour that we're doing, the reason why I'm doing it on black colleges is because I want to deal with intelligent people who have open minds for knowledge. I'm going to give them the knowledge, not just how to do it from the music side, but film and technology as well, so that you can actually empower yourself. So if they don't do it, that's on them. But I am going to, in 10 cities, I got 5 colleges already signed up. I'm waiting for letters from the other 10. So I'm going to give them real information. Let's go back to the 90s. I did it with the Rap Sheet Conference. It was huge. We had, man, we would do 3,000 people easily, but most of them were smoking blunt and drunk during the day, and they would come to the concerts at night. So when they got ripped off and raped, I didn't care. So that's why I'm specifically, because they didn't want the information, I am specifically targeting black colleges now, because I want to deal with these young people who are educated, smart, and open. Because otherwise, you are absolutely right. They're all just going to keep talking in jail.
Someone needs to inform them. Someone should absolutely inform them of what's really going on, because what I think the general consensus or the perception of how you make it is so unreal to what the reality is right now. So
yes, look, I put RapRehab.com together. It's the most honest and conscious site that deals with music on the web. I know that's great. I know there's a small audience that loves it. I try to give them as much information, but until we take back some of the mainstream, it ain't working. 54 million people went to World Star Hip Hop. That's who's winning right now. And this notion of everybody going independent, I'm saying take back some of these things from these corporations and get your voices back. We all can't just, and I'm from the independent grind, but we can't give up on them raping the whole system. And that's what this is about. It's a monster, gangster, genocide of everything in the music industry. And we've watched it flip. Where they used to have black programmers in local cities, everywhere you went, urban, DAS, the BLS, all were big. But we've seen that this flip all the way around, and we accept it like no other people, and that's a damn shame.
Can I give you an example? When you start talking about distribution, distribution is something we do not own. It's something we do not manipulate and deal with.
Right.
So, but we can make choices. When I left the source and started Rap Sheet, I essentially was independent in the magazine distribution game. I was cool when my partner was white. When I bought him out, all hell broke loose. There were fights that I had to fight, but guess what? I won. And I'm suggesting that the same thing can occur in music. The same thing can occur in any distribution arena if you, one, learn the game, two, truly understand the game, and you plan to win.
You know,
I think that that's the problem.
I agree with
most of them don't plan to do anything.
I agree with Daryl and Jamila. I agree with Daryl and Jamila. I think that, you know, and Paul, I hear what you're saying, but I think that these kids do need to be taught, because if they knew, I listened to Power 106 in LA the other day for a couple of hours in my car for the first time in years. The station sounds great. I mean, never stop playing music, but I literally heard Beyonce three times and when I was driving, going from one destination to the other. So it's, if these kids know that what you have to look forward to is you got to compete with this, you know, and it's going to be a long time before you get in this position. So you need to be able to build your own brand and know how to market and know how to be an entrepreneur and a business person first. I think that is what needs to happen. And I think it will wake up the industry after a while. If it takes hold, it'll wake up the industry to straighten our situation out. To get, you know, to start doing some getting some younger people in, some PDs, and allowing them to make decisions, to allow different markets to play songs that work in their market, and not have the corporations, you know, with the leashes on everybody.
So how's that going to happen?
It's been done before. We've had mavericks in the music industry all the way through. Look, you go back and you look at Ray Charles. He was blind, but he could see that they were coming at him to pull his pants down. And he was like, no, you're not going to pull my pants down. What's going to happen is that we can get into bed, but we'll both be naked or we'll both be fully clothed.
Right.
So if he did that a million years ago, why were boneheads still lining up? Look, I watched the TLC story, and I laughed. I thought it was comedy. People were like, oh, they ripped them off. Oh, I'm like, no, they didn't rip them off. They signed up and bent over.
Mm-hmm.
We have got to get to the point where we either let people bend over, or we get a group of people who stand up, keep their clothes on, and then do real business.
Mm-hmm.
We have to stop. We have to get to a point where we tell these artists, you must be an artist and a business person.
Right.
As long as we have artists who just want to be artists, then they're just fodder for rape.
Yeah.
They're just going to the rape machine.
Same thing with sports. Sports is the same thing.
What?
It's like sports. It's like when they
absolutely.
Yeah, they need to be taught in the beginning how to, because when you come from nothing, you usually end up with that. Especially if nobody's taught you how to spend your money. So
right. That
makes sense.
And who's teaching them?
Nobody.
Who's teaching them? To quote the immortal poet Keith Sweat, nobody. So somebody's got to teach them. Somebody. And so that's what I'm going to try to do. You know, with the IMIC, it's specifically targeted to these black colleges, these young kids who, they don't even have music majors at these schools, but
No. You
got kids who want to go into music and film. They just need the info. And so I'd rather go to them than to be out, you know, doing it with some, you know, some fake old dirty breath artists who are just going to sit up, smoke blunts all day and go to the events at night. And then just go stand in line and get raped.
I got a question.
We have to empower our people.
You're listening to the Radio Facts Radio Show, brought to you by RadioFacts.com, your online information station.
I got a question for everybody. Two things. I'm going to probably edit this, but it's one or the other. Either Paul had an idea, and I think it might take too long because we got like 8 minutes left, where he wanted to talk about our worst experience in the industry. The other thing that I wanted to do was to offer a challenge. I saw a picture today that was funny, but it was very true. I tried to send it to everybody, but it only appeared as a link. But where they were at the top of the picture, it was like some stairs, and every race, like Asians, Latinos, and whites, they were walking upstairs, helping each other up and everything else. And on the bottom half, it was black people, and we were kicking each other off the stairs and falling down.
Wrestling
and,
with each other.
Right. So when I thought about that, I said, you know what? We're all black. What if we, you know, instead of us just talking about stuff, if we actually took action? And in 1 week from today until next week, we did something to help each other. So in other words, it's like if whatever one of us, whatever all of us want, you know, each, then all of us take a part. And this probably could take long, of course, it could take longer than a week, but all of us will take a part and report on it, on helping that person reach their goal.
We would either all be killed or we would take over the world.
Well,
and that would be great.
But as this group right here, like I started with Paul, no, of course, nothing money or any other right now. No, we're not talking about that. I'm saying small goals. It's like I want to prove that each one of us has the ability to help the other person on this show. I'm gonna put this in writing and get let everybody think about it. And of course, now we're at 4 o'clock, so we're pretty much wrapping. But is there anything anybody's working on they want to talk about before we close?
Well, I'm working on the return of Rap Sheet. People don't think that it's going to make a huge splash, but I've got a plan.
Daryl, is there room?
I am ready for a marathon.
Out of curiosity,
there's room.
I know that it's a niche publication, so there is room, but what made you decide to do it again?
Well, I decided to do it again because there's, just like in 92 when I founded it, there's room because people are not paying attention to the underground the way they should be. And that's where it's at. That's what's really happening. That's what's going to develop and become the next whatever it is. If it's a bunch of people standing in line to get raped by the industry or people standing in line to do it on their own, it's coming from the underground. It's coming from all these cats who are doing it on their own trying to figure it out.
I'm still just kind of working my projects with the Lewis Cortez Group, lewiscortezgroup.com. So got a few things on the horizon. I'm going to be kind of like Dwayne right now. I don't want to really give too much, but definitely just handling my marketing and my management clients. So just okay. Doing my thing.
Still working on the internet studio and network project. I actually have a meeting this evening with a potential Jewish investor. So I'm excited to see what that's about.
I'm working on this show idea that I have that I'm drawing a little interest. It's a little competition game show, and really trying to get that picked up and bought and developed and produced for television. So I'm not going to go too far into the concept just yet, but
no. Well, good
that's
luck.
Like probably like my main goal right now. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, raprehab.com. I want you to check out my best two interviews ever. I did RT Television, which used to be Russia Today, and talked about the state of hip-hop culture with the host, Abby Martin. It was like 7:30, and it was the best interview. And I've done all the channels and networks with the Bill O'Reillys, but it turned out well. And the next day, I did one on Sirius XM with Wilma Leon on the Urban View channel. And for 35 minutes, we got to speak.
What the hell is that? What was that?
I don't know, man, but
anyway. I'm in the hood, so you're liable to hear anything.
Anyway, I just had to push that and push the site. But I think, it's time that everybody starts speaking up. And I think that's the number one problem. Nobody's talking. We have these conversations, but they're about as far as they go.
Well, that's why I suggested we do something. But I watched your interview. That was very good. On the Rush. What did you say? Rush? What is it called? RT?
RT.
Right. Yeah, I watched that. That was good.
You're listening to the Radio Facts Radio Show, brought to you by RadioFacts.com, your online information station.